From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use, no doubt, continues now, ladies and gentlemen. Last hour with Dr. Scott Bradley, incredible hour. Dr. Scott Bradley's website, freedomsrisingsun.com, is collegiate series and lifelong goal to match to preserve the nation. Check it out at freedomsrisingsun.com. And he has weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more. A education-rich site, to say the least. freedomsrisingsun.com, ladies and gentlemen. There you have that. We talked about the clear and present danger of democracy last hour, ladies and gentlemen. This idea from Elon Musk, hey, the people have spoken, let the people decide whatever they want to. He's off his rocker, folks. That's extreme, to say the least. But it's in my opinion, companionship with the other extreme, which is tyranny. FBI was in constant and pervasive contact with all these social media companies to block content from conservatives, promote the liberal agenda. The DNC, along with the FBI and Homeland Security, literally controlling these social media companies as their manipulative arm to manipulate elections and more. But the two Hegelian dialectic positions are so extreme. You can have tyranny or you can have democracy. Both, ladies and gentlemen, lead to the same road. Anarchy, tyranny, in my opinion, the cycle of societal death is what you really call it, folks. How much did, you know, Twitter do to help Joe get elected? A ton. Even an editorial. A commentary in the Washington Examiner calls it what it is. Out of control. I call it criminal activity. We talked about the film, documentary, Theaters of War. Exposes the Pentagon and the CIA are behind thousands of movies and TV shows, not just the social media sites. This operation, I don't know what you want to call it, Mockingbird of yesteryear, is live and well. The film breaks down the extraordinary level of control the military has had. They get first stab to manipulate any script that comes before them. It is insane. But folks are fighting back, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live has been at the forefront of this for over 25 years. I know we need greater reach. I get it. The only way we can do that is if you help fund Liberty Roundtable Live. I put all my money and all my time and all my talents, which I know I have very few, into the mix for this goal, to preserve the nation, to promote the sacred cause of God, family, and country. Okay, that's what we do. That's who we are. But I only have so many resources at my own, within my own sphere, if you will. We need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate as much as you please, as much as you can. Okay? But anyway, I digress. Others are helping too. WorldNet Daily or WND.com has been at it for a long time. Breitbart's been at it for a long time. Now the Epic Times has been at it for a long time. You know, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. And I don't mean to miss anybody who's doing a great job. There's a lot of talk shows that have made a difference. I've seen more people come to the knowledge of the truth in the last 5 years than I have in the first 20-plus I've been at this. So we're making progress, folks. The mainstream press does not control the whole narrative anymore. Their gatekeeping days are over. But they still have so much control, it isn't even funny, ladies and gentlemen. But now the pushback has begun. As you know, Ron Paul, when he ran in 2008, he didn't do very well because he didn't even have a group on the ground. Foot soldiers, whatever you want to call them, he just didn't have an organization. In 2012, he did a lot better. Of course, you can't win when the FBI and the Homeland Security is in charge of the elections, right? Nevertheless, he had a lot more people on the ground. And one of the things that Ron Paul back in the day did, was he created Campaign for Liberty, which is a tremendous organization. The leader of that organization in the great state of Utah is Lowell Nelson, who is with us often. He normally would be with us this hour, but he's on a service effort, as he does every Christmas in Mexico, to bring relief and kindness to the impoverished people there. So good for Lowell. He'll report on that when he gets back in January. But nevertheless, I digress, except to say Campaign for Liberty's been doing a phenomenal job. And in Campaign for Liberty, they have different focuses. One of them is Young Americans for Liberty, YAL. And they have been on college campuses making a big difference, student clubs all over the country that are conservative. Well, their efforts are paying off in more ways than one, because now the headline says this, quote, conservative college students across the country are now starting conservative newspapers. Their goal, to challenge the dominant liberal narrative peddled on their campuses, students now tell the Daily Caller. Well, again, the Daily Caller, Tucker Carlson, not a perfect organization, but has a lot better news than 99% of the rags and the liberal-leaning leftists that are out there. But anyway, so these conservative college students say they've had enough. They're going to start their own newspapers. There's a guy by the name of Thomas Stevenson. He's editor-in-chief of the student-run newspaper called the Cougar Chronicle. It's at Brigham Young University, and he told the DCNF, or that's the Daily Caller News Foundation, that the publication was founded to give conservative students a larger voice on campus. Now listen, even though Brigham Young University is considered one of the most conservative schools, according to media bias sites, he says this, our official school newspaper, the Daily Universe, still leans liberal, he explains. These student-run newspapers are often dedicated to providing a space for free speech and different perspectives to stand against the overt leftist-leaning policies. Legacy newspapers have been telling the tale of the leftist agenda for way too long, these students say. All right? Now, here's what interesting what he even said. He said, look, the Daily Universe is already liberal, but a further independent, even leaning further left newspaper was in existence at the time of our founding. But he says, look, we have got to stand up. We have got to make a difference. We don't want to lose our funding just because we tell a side of a story that somebody doesn't like. I commend these students for this. How far and how conservative they'll really be, time will tell. How educated they really are on the Constitution, on God, family, and country, we'll find out. But I commend these people who are saying, look, even though BYU is supposedly one of the most conservative campuses, according to these mainstream news sites that say that, remember, ladies and gentlemen, this, whatever you want to call it, conservative schools, they've got a liberal newspaper at the heart of their school. So, yes, they're conservative compared to the other party schools, the other perverted sex schools out there. There's a lot of conservatism, a moral compass. But from a narrative point of view, from a script point of view, from a documentation or a commentary point of view, they're so left-leaning that students just can't take it anymore. Thus, Thomas, this gentleman, Thomas Stevenson, says, look, we started this whole paper to deal with this very critical issue. Thomas Stevenson, he's editor and chief of the new student paper called the Cougar Chronicle. What do you say to this? I kind of like the pushback. It's a start, doctor.
I'd wish them well in this effort, as if it pans out as they've said. It's interesting to me that you look at the religious origins of let's just take the Ivy League schools, for example. Where did they start? I mean, they started as racist institutions. No, they didn't. That's what they would have you believe today. They really started with this idea of a religious foundation.
Oh,
and,
really?
Look where they are today.
Religious foundation? Are you kidding me?
Look at Brigham Young University has strayed far in a much shorter period of time. Look, I got my master's degree at BYU. It's in public administration. It truly, truly, truly is a degree in the administration of socialism. That's what it really is. And most people come out of the program and they go into some socialist program like a city manager or something such as that. It's a really a tragic situation. You know, I look at what has happened with the BYU drag queen kind of things that are happening. You go into some of the departments. I looked at a video the other day that was going through their sociology department, and they filmed what was basically trumpeted on each of the doorways of their professors that were there. I mean, we had, it's the LGBTQ narrative virtually every single door. And it is not just a newspaper that's liberal. It is basically the whole drift of, and there probably are individuals, I'll bet they're rare, that have tried to say, let's keep a standard. And it's a tragic thing that religious origins, whether it's a Harvard or a Yale or a Princeton or wherever, or a BYU, that they have been co-opted into trumpets for the new left, if you will. And I hope that this new school newspaper can make a difference. I suspect that they'll try and strangle it out based upon, making it look like it's the radical and the extreme and the conspiracy guys or whatever. It'll be interesting to see how it develops out.
Amen. They claim that a lot of professors are embracing it and giving it credence now and giving it some support.
I sure hope so. You know, maybe we got to move on here quickly, but let me just say something.
Hold on. Before we do, though, before you say that, I just want to clearly say this, though. I was joking about these liberal universities starting out as extreme. Look, here's what they've done. They have taken an era in history when these campuses jettisoned their religious. Hey, can you skip the break for me? Excellent. They jettisoned their religious views, and then they became racist and abusive and all this stuff in the vacuum of communism and socialism. And then what now they do is they start the narrative there, ignoring their true origins, Doctor.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long ago when the president of the university at BYU said they wanted to be the Harvard of the West. And when I first had that, I just got sick to my stomach, literally. I mean, this concept, no, we've already got enough of a Harvard on the East Coast. And these people have polluted noble and good principles so badly. In fact, I think, and this is something, I don't know if it'll happen before the Savior comes or not, but certainly after he comes, that people say, oh, you got your degree at Harvard? Oh, I'm sorry. Or at Yale or Princeton or, you know, these all of these big Ivy League schools. BYU, I think, is on the same track right now. I think that it'll be, oh, I'm sorry. You know, the problem is that they have strayed from their moorings. And we have to go back to understand our historical perspective if we are going to survive. We've got to look at our back trail. And what I started to bring up, and maybe it's inappropriate at this particular time, but today are two anniversaries I wanted to mention that are absolutely diametrically opposed to each other. And unless and until we understand the foundations of these things, we will still be off adrift somewhere in an ocean without a rudder or a sail. And the two anniversaries I was going to mention that happened today, 245th anniversary of Washington going into his Valley Forge encampment. And if there were time, we could talk about the arduous task that was at hand for those that were winter camping there. And what came out of that? 3,000 men died, put in unmarked graves, not a bullets fired at them. This was starvation, exposure, and just all sorts of terrible, terrible things. No shoes, no blankets. I mean, amazing. But they were for the cause of liberty. That's what we paid. Not we. They paid for us today. And that's the 245th anniversary today. The other anniversary is Ho Chi Minh launching his communist revolution in Indochina at the time. It became South and North Vietnam, and now they're reunified and everything now that the communists have pulled it off. And, of course, Cambodia and Laos. And I mean, it's a festering, a diabolical program that's there. But most people don't even know who Ho Chi Minh was. They don't remember what Indochina was or anything like that. I admit, and I would be one of the first to say, the French colonization should never have happened. But be that as it may, it was a communist revolution that brought about untold suffering. Now, you compare and contrast the movement that was underway 245 years ago in the United States, which we don't even talk about anymore as a general people. In fact, there's a strong movement in history, in a historical movement right now in America, to not teach anything before 1900. And you know that the great progressives were raising their ugly heads at that time, and they continue to do so. But people won't even understand what price was paid and what was necessary in order to establish this nation and the foundational concepts of liberty that were God-ordained, that came from God. And you compare that and contrast that to the godless things on this other 76th anniversary in 1946, when Ho Chi Minh started his bloody march, and we lost a lot of people for a war that we never even touched with a semblance of proper principle. But at any rate, here we have compare and contrast, and we've strayed far from universities and from nations and the principles of godliness, and we've just got to go back and understand our heritage from the original perspective. You know, go back from the, you know, the Holy Scriptures and see where we got our idea of God-given rights and this idea of how relationships ought to be, you know, man and a woman, no adultery, no, I mean, well, we could get far afield, no theft. Holy cow, you think of the theft. Isaiah talks about this, by the way. Every one of us oppress our neighbor. Well, how do we do that? Well, we vote for programs that say, I want my special program to take money from everybody so that my special program can be carried out. And everybody has a special program, and everybody's stealing from everybody. What Isaiah talked about is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And unless we understand these things, it's really hard to convince people that we're off track, you know. It's just a strange thing that we're in today. This world that we're in today, you know, good is evil, evil's good, bitter for
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, and everything
sweet
is nuanced. These universities that you mentioned, they started out as great organizations. Then they went off the rails, and now what we do is we point to how they were off the rails, and we all agree they were off the rails to take them off the rails even further.
Yeah, there's no question. I hope that these schools that, and this one at BYU, this newspaper, I hope it is soundly founded. I hope it carries forth a good quality, you know, program that it's looking to do. I hope it brings another voice to a school that seems to have lost its way. You know, one of the leading premier schools in the world that does a mock United Nations is BYU. They are, you know, people don't understand United Nations is the foundation of a global government. And if you read the charter of the United Nations, nothing, the United Nations has a charter that's going to bring about global governance. And every step of the way, whether you're reading their Declaration of Human Rights or whatever, nothing can be done within the United Nations or those that affiliate with it that are contrary to the intentions and purposes of the United Nations.
Yeah, I mean, it amounts to the destruction of American sovereignty under the supreme law of our land, the Constitution. The two cannot coexist. The United Nations' goal is to supplant and to destroy and replace what we know as the Constitution, the supreme law of our land.
BYU is probably the premier mock United Nations Senate. I mean, they do the whole thing there, fostering the images, ingraining in the minds of these students that are polluted by this thing the idea that, oh, they've got a better way. They're going to do something better than the United States Constitution. And it's just appalling to me. And, of course, UVU, the university that's down there in Provo Area 2 by BYU, is right on their tails in their globalist perspective on the things. So it's really absolutely appalling to me that these, number one, the universities maybe started out with the concept of they were going to give a, you know, a principles-based kind of thing with morality and all that kind of stuff, and now we're doing drag queen things and United Nations things and master's degrees in how to administer socialism and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, to me, it's tragic. It's a bait-and-switch kind of thing. Parents think they're sending their kids, whether you're going to Harvard or Yale or wherever, or BYU, oh, yeah, we're going to get a real sound education here. And what they do is get drilled into their heads false philosophies that will ultimately destroy the foundation that created the environment where kids could be sent to a school of their own choice. And it's to me, it's rather disheartening all the way around. I feel sad. Anyway, two anniversaries. Think about how different they are and what they led to.
You know, all right, let's commemorate the 245th anniversary of, what is it now?
In the encampment at Valley Forge.
The encampment of Valley Forge. Think about that, folks.
They went into their winter camp, you know. Holy cow.
Right? And let's reject the 76th anniversary of
the Ho Chi Minh march to communism in Southeast Asia. It was called Indochina at the time. And, it's, 1975, where they took Saigon. Well, we don't need to get distracted too much on that. It's kind of what we replayed in Afghanistan when Biden did his Bravo Sierra there. I find it astonishing because we don't learn the lessons of the past. We continue to make the same mistakes, and we lose every time. It's absolutely astonishing to me how far down we have fallen. But I don't know. I'm kind of a broken record on this, I guess. I keep saying, go back to your back trail. Look over your shoulder. See where we've been. You got to learn your history, or you're never going to be able to, you know, hold fast to the things that were won at such great cost. You know, that we just toss them there. Everything's kind of a frangible thing. It breaks very easily, and we throw it overboard. And we're losing the battle if we don't start returning to these magnificent original intent of the original principles. You know, I don't know. I don't know if. Look at Valley Forge. They had shortages of everything. Clothes, shoes, blankets, shelter, food. I mean, and you look at where we are now. You go into Walmart and they got empty shelves. You're saying, oh, we're going to do this again, are we? I mean, people starved. I mean, people desert. People die of cold, starvation, disease. I don't know how far away that is, but 3,000 died at Valley Forge without a shot being fired. They buried them in mass graves. I've stood at the side of those mass graves. They're hallowed ground. They gave their last full measure there. I mean, Washington, he couldn't get help from the local people, and he couldn't get it from Congress. It was just a real kind of a mess. He had to pray to God. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And it's just a... Let me just read you a little quick thing. I just got to share just a minute with. I'm sorry, Sam. I derail your program all too often. Here's what Washington wrote about this Valley Forge experience. No history now extant can furnish an instance of an army suffering such uncommon hardships as ours has done. To see men without sufficient clothes to cover their nakedness, without blankets to lie on, without shoes for the want of their marches might be traced by the blood from their feet, and almost as often without provisions as with them, marching through the frost and snow, and at Christmas taking up their winter quarters within a day's march of the enemy, without a house or hut to cover them, with hard duty to perform, and little or no strength to perform it with, and submitting to it without a murmur, is a proof of patience and obedience which, in my opinion, can scarce be paralleled. That's the guy that was the commanding officer. And it wasn't just Valley Forge. I mean, they had done the year before. They did the crossing of the Delaware. The year after, they were in Morristown. It was tough.
It was tough, ladies and gentlemen, all the way through. The point is, freedom isn't free. It takes dedicated, committed sacrifice. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried is planning to greenlight extradition to the USA and face criminal charges related to the cryptocurrency exchange's collapse. Mr. Bankman-Fried has been in custody in an undesirable jail in the Bahamas since he was arrested last Monday. The January 6th committee is touting they have a lot of undisclosed information to release before being disbanded.
The panel chairman has said it will vote on criminal referrals to the Justice Department and possibly share information with state bar associations about lawyers linked to former President Trump. But there's more. California Democrat Zoe Lofgren tells CNN the committee discovered a lot more information than it shared in its hearings over the past few months.
We will be releasing additional evidence through our footnotes to what we are talking about in the report.
Lofgren did not name names when it comes to referrals, but as for that still unseen evidence,
there's some pretty bad things we discovered.
I'm Richard Johnson.
Epic Games, the creator of Fortnite, has agreed to pay just over $500 million to resolve a Federal Trade Commission allegation that the video game developer Epic violated online privacy protections for children and tricked players into making unintended purchases. The settlement provides for up to $26.5 million in cash and other benefits to U.S.-based Fortnite players with Epic Games, and automatically adding 1,000 V-Bucks to each account that was used to acquire a random item, Loot Llama Loot Box. Thai Navy ships and helicopters were searching on Monday for more than two dozen sailors still missing more than 12 hours after a warship sank in rough seas overnight in the Gulf of Thailand. Weather forecasters are warning of holiday travel disruptions in the lower 48 states as temperatures will drop during the next 7 days. This is USA News.
Today, those interested in maintaining healthy blood sugar glucose levels still have limited choices when it comes to good-tasting, thirst-quenching beverages. One brand expanding consumer choice for blood sugar-friendly beverages is GlucoDown. Manufactured by publicly traded Glucose Health Incorporated, trading under the symbol GLUC, a leader in America's true growth industry, diabetes-friendly functional beverages. GlucoDown's prebiotic fiber blocks the body's absorption of dietary sugars, moderates after-meal increases in glucose levels, and helps maintain regular digestive health. Every nutritious and delicious serving has no sugar, no caffeine, and is a great source of prebiotic-soluble fiber. All 8 flavors are dietitian-recommended to maintain blood sugar in a healthy range. Available at CVS, Publix, online at Walmart.com, and a top category choice on Amazon. For more information on the company, visit GLUCReport.com. To begin maintaining your blood sugar in a healthy range, visit Amazon and search GlucoDown, GLUCO, down.
Yeah, they're also trying to celebrate the United Nations anniversary. What was it, 1945? So it's, what, 77th this year? Wow, folks. Have we got some serious problems in America? You know, we can talk about Pol Potts. We can talk about Holodomor. We can talk about a lot of the abuse that has taken place. Freedom requires sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. But even though it requires sacrifice, it's less sacrifice and loss of life than tyranny or anarchy or etc. So let's reject the 76th year anniversary of the Ho Chi Minh's revolution for communism in Indochina. That's important to kind of understand. Let's also commemorate the 245th anniversary of the George Washington encampment at Valley Forge. See, these are polar opposites, as you wisely point out. While we're talking about that, while we're talking about these new newspapers being started by people who don't like the liberal agenda being the only agenda, Donald Trump now endorses Representative Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House. He did so in an interview at Breitbart. And I think, you know what? The Republican Party is not going to do anything different than they've always done. Talk big till they get elected, then sell us down the river, doctor.
Well, I mean, you know, do we have any historical context on this? Yes, we should. If we don't look and see what history has brought us, I mean, you look at the John Boehners of the world and the Paul Ryans of the world. I mean, this is when the Republicans controlled it. You look at the Newt Gingriches of the world, and I know they're going to say, oh, no, Newt gave us the new contract with America. Holy cow. That's when we brought the NAFTA into the fold. You know, this international agreement that violates the Constitution completely, where the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, says Congress shall have power to regulate commerce with foreign nations. And so NAFTA comes on board, and no, they don't do it with Congress anymore. They have a bureaucracy that's established by treaty that regulates our commerce between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Now we got the USMCA, which Trump's people finalized with the complicit activities of Congress, where now another bureaucracy regulates our commerce with foreign nations. I mean, you look at what was done under that contract with America. You know what the contract with America really is? It's the one that they take an oath to when they go into office. They raise their arm to the square and take a solemn oath before God that they're going to uphold the Constitution. So where are all these things that we're doing right now, like building back better and the idea of not protecting our borders? And you know, Congress has the responsibility to regulate those kinds of things too, and Joe Biden has no authority other than to fulfill the law that has been passed, and he's get this. I'm telling you, this Title 42, when it expires, what is it, Wednesday or something like that of this week, you're going to see a flood like you have never seen across that border. But it started under a Republican president, Ronald Reagan, back in 1986. He signed the amnesty that everybody's running across now, saying they're going to do this again, baby. If we're there, we'll get our citizenship. Yeah, well, Sam, I'm sorry. I look at what the Republicans do when they get in office. They're afraid of governing. And I'm not saying they should be tyrants. I'm saying they should take the responsibility to live their oath of office. Article 6 of the Constitution requires that, and they throw it overboard as soon as they get in office. It's so disheartening to me. Bill Clinton's mentor wrote Tragedy and Hope, and it was written back in the 1960s. It's a huge book. I mean, holy cow, it's like 1,500 pages.
Yeah, it's almost like Atlas Shrugged, you know?
Yeah, well, Atlas Shrugged at least has a little more interest. But at any rate,
I'm just saying it's about that size. It's a massive book. It is equivalent to like a 5-book series, really, in terms of the number of pages.
Absolutely. You know, my book's only 526 pages long. It's a third the size. But nevertheless, what was said was, you know, that these guys that are trying to overthrow the freedom of our land got this harebrained idea, which they fulfilled. They capture control of both parties. So we can throw the bums out and keep the bums in. And the same agenda is carried forth regardless of which party's in power. And so it varies so little. There are slight nuances. We might be a little more warlike with this party and a little more socialism in terms of our social contracts in this country with this party. But the fact of the matter is it's still unconstitutional. And we allow them to go on and we think, oh, we can relax. The Republicans control the House now. Well, let's all go back and watch the Super Bowl game or whatever's coming up. I don't have any idea. But the fact of the matter is, it's the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. We cannot set aside our diligence in pursuing these things. We've got to let our voices be heard in favor of the correct principles the nation was founded on. And if we don't, it's going to continue to slip through our fingers regardless of which party's in charge. So
there's no question about it, ladies and gentlemen. So not only did Donald Trump endorse Kevin McCarthy, which just means the same for the Republican Party, no difference. Now the consummate supposed outsider, who you believed was an outsider, literally is doubling down for the mainstream as he hopes to get elected in 2024. He has no moral compass. He has no basis for his views. In fact, Elon Musk and Jared Kushner were caught hanging out over the weekend. So there you have it for buddies and friends. And these people are all socialists, you know, pretending they're for free speech. They're for your rights. They're for God, family, country. And boy, do I wish it were so. The U.S. Senate just passed a record $850 billion defense act, passes, quote, stopgap funding bill to avert government shutdown, sending bill to Biden. See, this is just disaster. I think we need to shut down the government entirely. And then the only thing we need to bring back is whatever we can justify constitutionally. The rest ought to stay shut down forever. But see, nobody has the guts to talk clearly, directly, and push for the real answers like I will, Dr. Bradley, and you and a few others. But for the most part, they don't have the guts. You say they don't have the guts to govern. You're right. They don't even have the guts to articulate what needs to happen. But I'm not happy about this stopgap funding measure, that this and that. And look, shut down government entirely. Bring back only constitutionally justified responsibilities and fund those legitimate proper roles of government and nothing more. It'd be very easy if we had the guts to govern, Doctor.
Well, it certainly would be, and you talk about this $850 billion deal. Well, 1,000th doesn't sound like a lot, maybe, but when you talk about those big numbers, 1,000th is 800 million. Is of that $850 billion bill is going to Ukraine? Not a shred of constitutionality for what they're doing there, and we're talking about sending our Patriot missile systems there. We could talk about that at great length, about the fact that for each one of those Patriot missile systems that we send takes a crew of 90 to service it. And it's pretty complex. And the only thing I think that's kept us from doing it so far is either the training of the Ukrainians or sending NATO troops along. What this is a surrogate war of NATO against Russia. And we're pulling triggers along this thing. If we have 90 people along with every Patriot missile system that we send, which is very strongly likely to happen, we're going to end up, they're going to be targeted.
What's going to happen, is that the technology will end up falling into the wrong hands. They'll reverse engineer it and everything else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're giving away everything. Every time we do one of these things, every time we launch some kind of a cruise missile or some kind of stealth bomber, or some kind of a computer-generated code, anything we do, you don't think they're not listening? We are having our pockets picked, billions of dollars, not just in hardware, is being sacrificed, and we lose lives. People that are willing to defend this country are being put in harm's way. And then what we do is we give away our military intelligence through our coded messages and our frequencies, or anytime you turn a radar set on, all of those things. We did this stuff when I was in the military 50 something years ago. Why aren't they doing it today? They are. And we are giving away our sovereignty and our protection. And someday somebody may say, you know what, these guys, we got all their codes. They've expended their energy. They've worn out their equipment. Their people are decimated. We can take them. We can take them. And, I mean, the whole thing is a travesty. And we continue
into
to
that.
Do it.
I'm gonna switch gears, but it's the same topic as we've been talking about for 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, can you skip the break, guys? We just got to do this, folks. All right, look. I'm switching gears, but it's the same topic, but just follow me. Last Saturday, Chris Carlson and I talked in detail about the fact that it can happen here, okay? The Mormon Trail of Tears, folks. Few people know or understand the extraordinary persecutions that the early members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints experienced. They had to endure, if you will. Okay, when they lived in the city of Nauvoo, Illinois, okay? It was back in 1844 to 1846 primarily, but it went on for a lot longer than that, okay? But they had to endure such abuses. And the reason that I bring this up now, even though it sounds like I'm completely switching topics, I'm not. But if we allow the tyranny of government control of the media and or the psychosis of democracy controlling the media. Elon Musk way, or I don't know who you call it, Donald Trump, Joe Biden way, government way, whatever you want to call it. We are in serious trouble. We have no instruments to determine where we are and where we want to head. And we will eventually, as Christians, history will repeat itself. And we, as Christians, it won't just be the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints coming up. The future will be all Christians. It can happen here. The trail of tears the Mormons experienced as they were literally given an extermination order against all men, women, and children by Governor Boggs. They literally went to the President Van Buren, who said, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. And this is going to be the future persecution and prosecution of Christians everywhere worldwide. But it's coming to a theater near us, because they cannot destroy America without destroying the Christian religion. Okay, that's the founding of America. And they understand this. And therefore, we highlighted this on Saturday about the abuses that the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints endured. But I've got news for you. That will be the fate of all Christians in the future if we allow these abuses to continue. Dr. Bradley.
You know, that we've only got a few minutes left, and this is several hours of discussion we could have, but this is a repetitive theory or theme, I guess I should say. I mean, you talk about the Trail of Tears. First thing that came to my mind was this stuff that happened to the Indian territories. You know, what happened, and I could give you example after example after example. The Native Americans seem to or tend to be one of my soft spots in my heart for what happened. And yes, all through history, atrocities happened on both sides. But the intent of the American Founding Fathers was to treat the Native Americans with dignity, to treat them as sovereign nations, to do things by treaty, not by warfare, not by theft. And all of that went out the door after the Founding Fathers basically died off. And the only good Indian became a dead Indian, according to the official policy of the U.S. government. The efforts to completely eradicate, that's called genocide. They killed the food source so that all men, women, and children would starve. I mean, these kinds of depredations occurred under the U.S. government. You talk about other situations. The religious liberty thing in America kind of got set aside. This idea of the First Amendment and being able to worship according to the dictates of our conscience, forget it. And so what we're doing is we're seeing a setup that has been coming for a long time. I mean, the excommunication, if you will, of God from the public education system in the 1960s. The idea that, government has to have an adversarial relationship to religion. The idea that was promoted in September of 1996 when the Obama administration brought together the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and they put out a 296-page document that said basically we're going to define as narrowly as possible religious liberties so that religious liberties can't in any way, shape, or form interfere with these government-created liberties like same-sex marriage and everything. Well, we see the Respect for Marriage Act that just passed the House and the Senate and ended up on Biden's desk, that is basically a government stepping in unconstitutionally to take control of marriage. And what they're doing is they've quote-unquote protected institutional religions by saying, oh, no, these religions don't have to abide by this. Another legislature this year, next year, whenever it is, they get out of this lame duck when they can do it next time around, could say, no, institutions have to abide by this too. And what this religious respect for religious liberties thing does, if you do not abide by the newest rights that have been come forth by the general government, you can have the full force of the federal government put on your back so that, you know, you can, it'll be held in federal court. It'll be assisted in by the U.S. Attorney General. And that's the problem, is people that have their own belief system are being put upon by this. That's been thrown under the bus. The institutions that were in favor of it threw those of us that are individuals under the bus. Institutions don't realize that they exist because individuals have rights. See, individuals that have a religious belief system can band together and create a church. Churches are there because individuals have those rights. And if individuals lose those rights, ultimately the institution will be undermined. It's a slippery slope, and you're right, Sam. This is, as you say, coming to a theater near you. This problem is kind of mushrooming, and most Americans don't even understand it. And let's go back to the Republicans for a minute. The Democrats were all in favor of this so-called Respect for Marriage Act. And then we had a whole bunch of Republicans in both the House and the Senate that said, yeah, this is a good idea. Read your Constitution, people. Where does it give the United States government the authority, the delegation of authority, to become the adjudicator of religion? Excuse me. That's coming. Of marriage. Where does that go? Go read it. Look at it carefully, word for word. And find out, is marriage even mentioned? Is there some, no? But Congress said, no, we're in charge of that now. And they're doing it over.
And it's ironic, the second property. They say we don't have authority to murder babies at the general level, we have authority to control marriage at the general level. Where do they get the notion? If they're going to say 50 plus years later, after 60 million babies are murdered, hey, we don't have authority over that, but yet they take authority over marriage? Where does that equate? The irony is beyond me, Doctor.
Well, that's the problem, is they created this Respect for Marriage Act because Clarence Thomas is a wonderful author about U.S. history. He wrote some magnificent documents. He's dead now. He's a great economist. He's a great historian, well-documented. I don't know why he came to mind, but maybe I just needed to endorse him. But Clarence Thomas did this big... he said, you know what, when they threw out, in last June, they threw out the Roe v. Wade. He says, maybe we ought to go back and look at what we did in 2015 about marriage. Oh, panic, panic, panic. We've got to create a canonization of same-sex marriage. And Congress acted in July. The Senate sat on it until some turncoat senators gave them cloture there. And they said, oh, we've protected institutions. All right. It's the Chamberlain Act from Munich in the 1930s when Hitler and Chamberlain met and gave away Czechoslovakia. They're giving away that which is not theirs to give. And these people are patting themselves on the back about how we have protected churches. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Churches are going to lose it too. I got news for you. And as you point out, Sam, it's coming to a theater near you. It's just a step at a time. It gets a little step closer every time. And this trail of tears, I don't know what form it'll take. I mean, they were Jews that got targeted back in Europe in the 1940s. But there was a lot of Christians and gypsies and Jehovah's Witnesses and everything else that got caught in the crush. And every time we throw something under the bus, we lose something. And most of us aren't even willing to recognize it. So, yeah, it was Native Americans in the 1800s.
I think it's the Native the Americans that are abused. The blacks were abused to a great degree, African Americans, and the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, were abused. And the truth is the Mormons were abused more than they all, Dr. Bradley. You can say it's a shorter period of time, maybe. But they were literally ran out of the country on a rail, Dr. Bradley. And so no group has had that kind of abuse. Look, exterminate men, women, and children. Doesn't matter if you rape the women or the little girls along the way. Whatever you want to do is good. Treating them worse than literally the animals, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that's kind of where we seem to be going now. We talked last Friday, I believe it was, about how we've become so debauched as a people, and you ask, where do we go now? And I threw out, I don't know, it's as bad as I can think. Well, maybe bestiality. You remember the conversation we had? And we really are accepting across the board of things that, I mean, even in my lifetime would have never been even the slightest consideration. And you're right, Lilburn Boggs, Governor Lilburn Boggs, extermination order of 1838 in Missouri, against a whole religious people. I mean, exterminate them. Who does that? Who says that? And you just wonder how far away we are from that. I mean, you know, they'll try and exterminate Christians maybe in court actions and in business things. You know, certainly in the marketplace, the public arena of what gets to be spoken of. No, it's hate speech now. You can't even talk about a religious concept without being accused of maybe hurting somebody's feelings about a made-up sexual status or something. You know, it's appalling, absolutely appalling.
Well, so, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't mean to be negative. We do mean to highlight what is coming, though, from a realist point of view. And then what our goal is, though, is to help folks understand what they can do to mitigate, to reduce, to turn the tide, whatever you want. So it is our hope and prayer that we will all repent first and then do what we can to restore the God-ordained constitutional foundations of our country. Look, if we turn to God and repent, our greater numbers, as True the Vote and others have highlighted during the show today from my notes, look, our greater numbers can change the tide. We've got to educate ourselves. We have got to reject what the mainstream press in bed with government and or those who push for democracy are selling us. We have got to say we're not buying. We believe in the founding fathers. We believe in God, family, and country. We believe in the Christian viewpoint of the Ten Commandments. We believe that the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, the Bible, Scripture, if you will, are our guide for success. God promises us biblically that if we repent, he will heal our land and protect us. What a great promise. What an incredible opportunity that you and I have now, Dr. Bradley.
Well, we do. We can starve them out. I mean, whether it's a COVID mandate kind of nonsense or it's a this idea of running roughshod over our belief systems, we do. We can starve them out. We can withdraw our support of it, and I think we ought to be doing that. I think that, but we've got to become awakened and aroused to a sense of our awful situation. I truly believe that this nation is at greater risk right now than it was in the 1860s. You know, we ran out of statesmen for a while in there, but we still had a few, and we don't have any today.
Well, and the tenor of the people then were generally immoral people. Now I'm afraid we're not that either.
Yeah, well, you look at World War II. I really believe that there's plenty of moms that prayed their boys home from the war. I mean, I think our losses were far, far less than you would have thought they'd have been had God not smiled upon a people that was petitioning him on bended knee. And I think we've got to return to that. We've got to return to the God who gave us liberty. Our nation will only endure if we go back to those foundational principles that it was established on. And honestly, they came out of the Holy Scriptures. Those principles were there for us to use to establish this nation that became the hope of the world. And
amen.
You know,
I'm a computer guy, folks, so I'm going to end on an if-then statement, Doctor. If we, the people, turn to God, family, and country and repent, then God promises us he will protect us and heal our land. What an incredible promise from God Almighty, and what an opportunity that we have in our day. It's a blessing to live in our day when we await the return of the Savior Jesus Christ, and it's our time to prepare ourselves, our families, and our loved ones around us for that eventuality. We win in the end, folks. Do not give up. Take courage, take hope, pray for the return of Jesus Christ, and let's do all we can to prepare people for that to happen. That's our hope and our efforts, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there aren't any more oceans to navigate where we can get away from this stuff. There's no more planes to go across, no more frontiers. It's here. It's now. There's been lines of demarcation drawn. It's time for us to do something about it. It's our time in history.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours in the can. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. Archives are available at libertyroundtable.com. and lovingliberty.net. Donate, would you please? Every penny we'll use, every sacred penny, we will use it to grow our ability to truth tell to tell the tale of God, family, and country, ultimately liberty, to everyone who will listen to our voices. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's site. God save the Republic of the United States of America.